This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. My guest today is not only extremely special to me, she is beloved by everyone involved with Western Music Association. Her lovely voice and giving heart continues to inspire a whole new generation of performers. But before we bring her on, from her Word Records gospel album, let's listen to her performance of Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Bids me at my father.
Oh, that just gives me goosebumps. I love that voice. Today's guest has had an amazing multifaceted life. From child actor through several musical and traditional careers to an icon in Western music, at 89 years young, she has an energy and vibrancy that never ceases to astound me. The truly wonderful thing is that she is still going strong, mentoring and teaching and occasionally even taking the stage. There is absolutely no way we can cover her extraordinary life in an hour, but we sure hope to hit some of the highlights. This precious woman has blessed my life in more ways than I can express, but mostly it is her role as my surrogate mother that I cherish the most. It is a delight and an honor to welcome to our show my precious friend and what she calls my mother of the heart, Miss Marilyn Tuttle. Welcome, Marilyn.
Hello, Belinda. It's so nice to hear your sweet voice today.
Oh, you too. It's so fun because you're actually staying with us right now. So you're in the other room, sort of like when I was talking with my husband. So you're in the other room and I'm in the other room and we're talking on the phone.
That's good.
It is good. It is good. Well, oh, goodness, I don't even know where to start with you because there's so much in your life that's so interesting and fun to talk about. But let's kind of get a little background of your childhood, where you were born and kind of where you grew up. Tell us a little about that.
I was born in Southern California in a little town called Montebello. And my parents had a business there. And I had my first job when I was about 8 years old. I was dancing, I went to a dancing school, actually, because my mother thought I ought to be a movie star. I didn't necessarily agree with that, but she started me in dancing school. She had been a professional musician, and I think she didn't go as far as she wanted to, so maybe she thought I was going to take where she left off. But at that dancing school where we went, we did some... Every once in a while, we got calls for movies, and the first movie I was in was with Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald in a movie called Maytime.
So what was your part in that?
Oh, we danced around the maypole. I had a big part in that movie. That was it.
That was it, huh?
That was it. Yeah.
So did that lead to other movies?
I'm sorry, what?
That led to
Say
other
again.
Movies, I'm sure. I'm sure
yes.
That led to other movies.
Well, it did. It did. I did two with Shirley Temple. I did some later on, you know, but those were in my childhood.
Wow. Now, when you were doing the movies, were you going to regular school or were you going to school on the set like some of the other?
Well, when we did the movies, we had to go to school on the set. And otherwise, I just went to regular school. But when we did movies, I guess the laws say that we had to go to school on the set. So that's what we did.
Wow. That was a whole different era. A whole different era for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So now, were your family, did you grow up in a church-going family, or how did the Lord factor into your life as a child?
My dad and mother had both accepted the Lord, but they had a business and they felt that they were too busy, I guess, to go to church. But they always saw that I went to church. And my mother taught me to start praying at a very young age. I can't remember a time when I went to bed without praying. And I think over a period of years, the Lord has honored that. My prayer life has always been very special to me, and I hope to the Lord.
Oh, I'm sure. So at some point, I always like to find out from my guests. There's always some point in our lives when we have the little switch flips from just knowing that there's a God and honoring that there is a God, and to actually having an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. Can you tell me how that was for you and when that happened for you?
Well, my parents decided to be rebaptized when I was 10 years old. So I was, the three of us were baptized together. And that's when I accepted the Lord. But then a few years later, I went to church camp, and he became much more real to me at that time. And at that time, I gave him my life. After that, I didn't always do the best thing, but that was when he became very real in my life.
Wow. You know, we can't underestimate the power of church camp. Both of my boys really made a commitment to the Lord at church camp. So I completely believe in church camp. So if anybody out there is listening and is involved in church camp and wondering how effective you really are in this world we live in, please know that you truly, truly are, because there's so many children that is where they finally really make a decision for themselves to serve the Lord. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, we're going to do another song for me. I really chose some just really pretty traditional hymns because you just kill on them. You just nail them, Marilyn. I love your voice and I love what you do with these hymns. And this is one of my favorite. It's Softly and Tenderly. Can you tell us a little bit about recording this and maybe who's on there with you?
I believe that one has the Good Twins. I think that was a solo album that I put out. And the Good Twins are still in out there doing concerts, and they are doing a great job. But I love the sound, and they do the background singing on this CD. So that's who you'll hear with me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, let's listen to Marilyn's version of Softly and Tenderly.
Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly tell
That's a beautiful combination, you with the good twins. That definitely works, Marilyn. That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Oh, man, me too. So you started dancing at an early age. That landed you in the movies. When did you start singing, Marilyn?
I've always sung with my parents. They sang harmony well, and so I didn't know how to sing harmony, so I always sang the lead. When we traveled, we sang a lot together. And so when I was in high school, I sang with a trio in high school. We sang with a high school swing band, and that was fun. That was the first trio I ever sang with, and I was singing lead there, too, because I thought I didn't know how to sing harmony. But gradually, I sang with a after I got out of school, I graduated young and moved into a place down in L.A. and, left home and got with two other girls, and we started a trio there. And there I learned to sing harmony, and I love to sing harmony much more than solos or anything like that. I love to sing harmony.
I'm right there with you, because you and I, whenever we sing together, we fight over who gets to sing the harmony. Because you and I are both on the same page there. And I find that so ironic, Marilyn, that you didn't think you could sing harmony and didn't, because, I mean, literally with the Western Music Association, they have a harmony competition at their annual event every year, and we'll talk more about that later in Albuquerque, but there's actually the Marilyn Tuttle Harmony Award. I mean, you are so noted for your harmony singing now. I find that ironic that you didn't think you could sing harmony. That's crazy.
Yep. That's very flattering. Thank you.
So then you were singing with this trio. Is that the point where your career launched in music, or did you do other things before that happened? Tell us about what your life was like after high school.
I worked for a company called the G. Sherman Publishing Company, and that's a publishing company that used to publish most every. They were music publishers, and I loved working with them because I got to be around music all the time. That's actually one of my first jobs away from home was with G. Sherman Publishing Company. Wonderful job. I loved it. And that's during the time that we had this first trio. We didn't perform anywhere. I can't remember ever performing anywhere for anybody with that trio, but we used to practice. We'd go up in some of the restrooms where they had all tile in the big buildings, and we'd practice.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd get echoes, and it was it was an interesting time of life.
It was, that makes me giggle, because when my late singing partner and I would practice, we would have off of the dressing areas or the green rooms, there would be a bathroom, which were usually, pretty echoey. And we would like to go in there and practice. So we'd be hanging out in the bathroom, running our songs. So I totally get that going into the bathroom thing for sure. And so after G. Sherman, pardon?
I was just going to say, for anybody out there that is practicing their music, take this hint. You can always go into the bathrooms where they have tile, and you get a wonderful echo sound.
You do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Marilyn's tip for the day, practice in the bathroom. Oh, gosh. So after Sherman Publishing, then what did you do, Marilyn?
Well, eventually, I worked for CBS Radio for a while, and eventually I was hired. Oh, I was also, I had been singing in a trio with Jimmy Wakely. I don't know if knows who Jimmy Wakely was, but
of course.
Jimmy, he starred in quite a few movies, and he had a trio. I'm trying to think of the name of the trio, but whatever it was, I worked in that trio for a while. And after I worked with Jimmy Wakeley, I was hired at the Earl Carroll Theater. I don't know how many of the folks out there remember that, but it was a wonderful theater that had a huge floor show. And his theme was, through these portals pass the most beautiful girls in the world. We used a lot of makeup so that we all looked pretty good. And we had...
Well, you're pretty doggone cute. It didn't take much makeup, Marilyn. You were a doll. Oh, God.
We had some great comedians, and we had an absolutely wonderful show. We'd get out about 12 o'clock midnight and then go eat somewhere. So usually we got in bed about 3 o'clock. And those were the hours we were keeping.
Wow. So were you mostly singing or mostly dancing?
Not much dancing, mostly singing. We had a trio, and we did mostly singing.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, and how old were you when you went to work for the Earl Carroll Theater?
I believe, let's see, I can't remember what year that was, but I would have probably been about 18. Right in there somewhere.
Wow. So you already had a lot of life under your belt at 18 years old.
Yes.
My goodness.
Well, I started out from school early. Somehow I got through early. And so anyway, that was the way it went.
Oh my goodness.
I was there until 1946. I left Earl Carroll.
Wow. So you were there through the World War II years.
Pretty much, yes.
Wow. What was that like, Marilyn?
Well, World War II, I don't know. I was, I lived through it, and it was just another time in our lives. I left Earl Carroll in 1946 because a young man came along that I thought was pretty nice, and he asked me to be a part of his stage show, and I guess he thought I was pretty nice too. Otherwise, I can't imagine why he would have asked me. But anyway, I traveled with that show from 1946, about a year, and I finally married that young man that hired me, and his name was Wesley Tuttle.
Oh gosh. We will definitely be talking more about Wes, that's for sure. Yeah, because he's a pretty special guy. And how long were you and Wes married?
57 years.
Wow. That's amazing. Wonderful.
Until he decided to die and leave me.
Oh, I don't think he made that decision, Marilyn. But do we ever decide to do that?
For 57 years, we had a wonderful marriage.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, we'll talk more about Wes in just a minute, but in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and listen to I Need Thee Every Hour. Would you like to say anything about this song before we play it, Marilyn?
No, let's just listen to it. That's about the time he came into my... Well, no, I don't think so. Let's just play it.
Okay. Okay, let's listen to I Need Thee Every Hour.
No tender voice like thine can
Oh, I love this song. Ah, beautiful job. I'm getting a lot of ideas for some duets that we need to do, Marilyn.
That's good. That's good.
I know.
I might be a proud mother and say that our son Wes played the piano on those all of our gospel albums, and I think he was about 12 years old when he did that. He started playing piano at age 4, and so he's playing on all of our albums of the piano, and then Patty Styles played the organ. So
wow, well, amazing job, and boy, that music runs deep in your family. I do know that with your boys, it's pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
What a blessing.
I'm so glad they're musical, yeah.
Yes. It's part of their heritage. How could they not be, huh? Oh, gosh. So how long did you and Wes travel in Wes's show? When did you tour with Wes in his show?
Well, I was with him until, like I said, we married in 1947, and he wanted to pretty well get off the road. He was tired traveling, and so was I. And so we started on television in 1950 at a show in L.A. called the Foreman Phillips Show. And then we were there for about a year. And in 1951, we went into a different show called Town Hall Party. And those of you that are a little older out there could remember that show if you were in the Los Angeles area at that time. And then also I believe it was about 1945, Wesley signed with Capitol Records. And he had a few hits at that time. And so he was pretty well known. I was not, but that well known. But I became that well known when we were on the television shows in L.A.
Wow! Now, wasn't one of those hits? Didn't Wes had a really big hit with "Detour"? Did he not?
He did, and he had a couple before that, and that were million sellers.
Wow!
And later on, I meant. Mentioned now when he went into the gospel music field, Paul Westmoreland wrote some Christian lyrics to Detour, and so Wesley got so many requests to do Detour that he was so happy to have Christian lyrics to sing to that song.
I love the story that Wes actually told about it when he was still alive, and talked about how everybody would always want him to sing Detour in church, and he just didn't feel comfortable doing that. So, and he was so delighted when he finally did have some gospel lyrics to sing to that, and very proudly have that, his version, Paul Westmoreland's version, the version that Wes taught me on my gospel album. It's pretty cool. He was really noted for that. So then tell me a little bit about, before we move on with your life and the progression of things, what was Wes's relationship with the Lord when you all married?
When we married, I had been away, not away from the Lord, but I just hadn't been practicing my Christianity at all. I didn't go to church much. Did a little bit, but not a whole lot. And I really hadn't given it a lot of thought. I was so in love that it didn't seem like it mattered. And he didn't have any relationship at all with the Lord. His parents had never been interested in Christianity, and so he wasn't either. But that all changed.
I'm sure you had a lot to do with that change. How long were you all married before he started thinking maybe he needed to change his focus a little bit?
After we were married, about 2 years after we were married, I started going to church. And a little bit after that, the man that preached at the church where I was going was Wesley's secretary in Kiwanis. Wesley was president in the town where we lived. And his secretary was Al Morey, and Al was preaching at the church where I was going. And he became a very good friend of Wesley's and mine as well. And I think Al had a lot to do with Wesley's conversion. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that I had something to do with it. He was converted probably in about the time we were on town hall party. And he just became more and more interested all the time.
Well, you were telling me a story about how they were building a new baptismal in the church that you guys were attending, and you had your children. I think you had your 4-year-old twins. And I don't know if Matt in the picture yet?
No, Matt came 10 months later.
So it was, you just had your four-year-old twins, a boy and a little girl. And tell us that story about your little girl and about Wes being baptized.
What was interesting, I thought, and as I look back on it, it was all the Lord's doing. But I had gone to the doctor because the doctor, when our twins were born, the doctor, I said, how long can I wait before I have another child? And he said, oh, you don't want to have any more kids. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe there's a physical reason why I shouldn't have any more children. So I'm going to the doctor, and while I was there, I said, why did you tell me that I shouldn't have any more children? And he said, oh, you could have some more children. I just didn't think you needed any more.
Oh.
So I thought, oh, great. So I'm going home to tell Wesley that we can have another child. And when I get home, I find that our daughter, we had a son and daughter twins. I find that our daughter was dead. She had fallen into our pool and drowned. Well, no, she didn't drown. She had fallen into the pool and died. And I don't know how she ever got in there, because the latch on the gate was very, very high. And but it was very hard on Wesley, because he had been home with the kids alone.
Mm.
And but I'm coming home to tell him we can have another child, and I'm coming home to find that we have one left. So 10 months later we had another child. And that was Matthew. But I'm sure it was the Lord's doing, you know. And it wasn't as hard on me as it was on Wesley.
Right. And you said that Wes had planned to wait to be baptized in the baptismal,
yeah.
But then what did he decide?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. And I forgot where we were. At that time, he had been waiting for the baptismal font to be finished at the church. And at that time, he decided to not wait any longer. And so he was baptized in the pool that she died in.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So how long after that, because at some point Wes made the decision, and I'm sure you're losing your daughter and all of that had played into that decision, but he decided to leave secular music and to go into gospel music and become a preacher. And at the time, he was a contemporary with Jimmy Wakely and Tex Ritter and all of those guys, and he was moving in those circles and rising at the same level those guys were. So that was a huge decision for him to step away from secular music at that point. And so tell us about kind of what happened with Wes and his decision to do that.
We left town hall party in 1957, and he had decided to go into the gospel music field. We had no idea what we were going to do. we just thought we'd put it in the Lord's hands and see what he did with it. So we left the town hall party, and I wanted to start a Christian bookstore. I had always been interested in that, and so I did that. I started a Christian bookstore. Wesley started going to college and taking some classes. He knew basically very little about the Bible. He just loved the Lord and knew that God had saved him, and he was just wanted to serve the Lord in some way. So I started the Christian bookstore, and he started school, and we had a friend who had a church, not the same friend that I was talking about before, but a different one. And he said, well, why don't you come to our church and do a concert? So we said, oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And from that concert, I think we got two or three other opportunities to do concerts at different churches. And that's how it all started. He was doing concerts. I had the Christian bookstore. I was occasionally working with him with concerts if they were out of town because we had children in school. He went and did those by himself. And then eventually in the summertime, when the kids were out of school, the whole family traveled together. As I had mentioned before, Wes Jr. plays the piano, and Matt started singing when he was very young, and he did concerts with us. We did trios. We just had a really good time out there doing that in the summertime. And in the wintertime, Wesley pretty well traveled in the United States doing gospel concerts. Those concerts were usually lasted, like the church would have a week's revival, and so Wesley would be working the whole week at one church. Doing the music portion.
Wow, that's a busy. So when did Wes sign with a gospel music record company? I think you and he both signed, didn't you? Because you did recorded together.
Yes, it was not too long after he had decided to go into gospel work that he was signed by Sacred Records to do his first CD. It was entitled His Name is Wonderful, and we did it together. I did some solos on it. He did some solos on it, and we did duets. So and we stayed, Sacred Records eventually went into Word Records, and those records came out later on. We did, I can't remember how many CDs we did all together, but probably about 10.
Yeah, I could be mistaken, but I remember didn't Wes also work with the record company actually finding new artists as well? He wasn't just recording, but he was actually working with the company, or am I remembering that correctly?
No, you are remembering it correctly. He did. He brought several new artists into that record company. The Good Twins that I mentioned earlier that backed me up on that on my solo album, he brought them into the gospel concerts, the gospel records, and they had never done a gospel record before when they started. They've done lots of them now, but he did that.
That's awesome. Well, I think we should listen to a song that both you and Wes sing on. And the one I chose was What a Day That Will Be. It's you're soloing, but Wes is singing harmony with you, right, on the choruses?
I think, I can't remember. I think we changed, I don't know. Let's listen to it, and then I'll remember. We'll all know who sang lead and who sang
what. We'll all know who sang what.
Lots of times we just changed up around in the same song.
I bet you did. And this is, we're going to be listening to What a Day That Will Be with Marilyn and Wes.
There is coming a day when no heart.
Great memories.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Yes, me too.
I spent many an hour sitting on the floor at Wes's feet in your living room while he sat in his big old recliner and taught me songs and taught me chords and sang harmony with you guys. Oh my gosh. Beautiful voice. I mean, to the end, beautiful, beautiful
yes,
voice.
Yes.
Both
right.
of you, both of you. In fact, we're going to be closing the show out at the end of this show. I might as well just say it right now. The song I chose is off of my gospel CD, where we are actually singing a trio, the three of us. And you were in your 70s, and Wes was in his 80s, and he was actually pre-Alzheimer's when we recorded that. And it's still just, when I listen to it, just boggles my mind. Both of you, just such wonderful voices. Just, oh, such an honor.
Thank you.
It's been
a wonderful pleasure in life to be able to serve the Lord with what he's given us, and we're just so happy, so appreciative to him for that.
Well,
that
you definitely have done and continue to do that, Marilyn. And aside from the music, you're almost sort of like a Renaissance woman. I mean, I cannot believe that you've had some incredible careers, several in your life, not to mention a small herd of cattle in there at one point.
that's true.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about some of your various careers. Why don't we go through that real quickly and kind of let people know where you went on this journey?
Well, I worked for the school system for a while, I worked for a mortuary for a while, which I loved very much because my job was to be there when people were in dire need of prayer and this loving care, and that was what I loved to do. I got involved with the WMA, the Western Music Association. Wesley and I got involved with it in, I believe it was about 1995 or something like that. And we enjoyed that so much. Every year they have a festival, and once we started going, we never stopped. Every year it was such a, and I guess that's, we see you there every year, I know, and
that's where we met. That's where we met was at the WMA, and
yeah.
And actually you serve on the advisory board on the WMA. You are over the harmony competition at the convention every year in Albuquerque, which is, by the way, open to the public. Anybody can go, it was named after you. And you also received the Pioneer Trail Award for not only your work with the WMA, but also, Marilyn, I so admire that you are so willing to open up and share your knowledge of music, and you work with young groups and new and developing acts and helping them with their harmony and teaching them how to sing harmony, and it's just amazing. And also just, at 89 years old, you have a weekly Bible study you've been doing for, 11 years now?
It'll be 11 years in September. Yeah.
So you lead a Bible study in your home, and just, oh, my gosh, just so much. You're just such a treasure. I do want to go back to, I brought it up, and I was hoping you would elaborate on it. I love the story about your herd of cattle. So can you please tell... Please tell us the story of your herd of cattle that you had.
My herd?
Your herd,
I use
the term loosely.
Yes. I went to the fair, the state fair. I don't know if it's state fair. It's the fair in Southern California. And I saw a Charolais bull there that I just thought was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And that night we went to Stuart and Susie Hamlin's house for dinner. And I said, Stuart, do you know anything about Charolais cattle? I said, I want to start a herd of Charolais cattle. And he looked at me so funny and he said, why are you telling me this? And I said, well, I don't know. I just saw this bull today and I thought he was wonderful. And I thought I'd like to start a herd of cattle. He said, did you know that my brother raises registered Charolais cattle? And I said, no, I didn't know that. He was in Texas, and I didn't know Stuart's brother. And he said, let me see what I can do for you. So he called me next day, and he said, my brother said he'd give you a Charolais bull if you want one. And I said, wonderful. So it ended up I got shipped out to California, the Charolais bull and two pregnant Charolais heifers. And I was going to Pierce College at the time studying beef husbandry. So, I had a place to keep them. I kept them at the college, and they kept my bull because they used him with their Angus herd. But, let's see, I'm just trying to think anyway, the heifers eventually calved, and they both had bull calves. So that was the end of my, I didn't have any more heifers to get pregnant. So we finally sold my herd of five cattle, three bulls and two heifers, or two females, and went to Hawaii with the money we sold them for. So that's what happened to my beef.
Short term.
Beef husbandry. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, before we close out talking with you, one of the things that I really cherish and admire and love about you is your strong walk with the Lord, and it's so evident in your life, Marilyn. And I just really want to tell you how grateful I am to have you in my life and what a blessing you are to so many people, not only the music that you share so generously, but your life is just a shining light of what it means to walk with the Lord and to share with people, and just so appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I hope that's the way it really is. I love the Lord and I love what he's done in my life. My life has really been wonderful because of him, and I couldn't just be more thankful. So,
well, we are grateful for you for sure, and hope to be having you around for a very long time. I hope to be celebrating your 100th birthday with you one of these days. And we will sing it, and we will sing a duet, Marilyn.
Okay, very good.
That's a date. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and we are going to close with probably one of my favorite hymns, It Is Well With My Soul. Would you like to say anything about this before we close, Marilyn?
No, let's just listen to it.
Well, we love you, and I just so as you know, Bob and I are not going to quit working on you to move in with us.
Thank
you.
We've decided
you need to live with us. Well, we love you, sweetie, and we're going to listen to now It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you.
Close out that section of the show. I just love that lady. I wish all of you could be blessed by just being around Marilyn for a little while. And after 89 years, her little body is presenting some challenges, of course, but her spirit is phenomenally strong, as you can tell. And her eyes twinkle and shine with the love of the Lord. As I think about Marilyn's life, there are some scripture that came to mind, and I looked them up so I could share them with you. And And the first is in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then Matthew 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. While Marilyn is still absolutely running the race, like the rest of us, she has had her challenges and ups and downs, and as she shared, even times when she drifted from the Lord. But as the scripture just told us, and Marilyn's life reiterates, this race, as the Bible calls it, is not about who runs it with the most impressive style or who runs it the swiftest. It is about loving the Lord, keeping our eyes in focus on him, moving forward no matter what, to endure to the end. So for those of you facing some difficult challenges in your life right now, I would encourage you to keep putting one foot in front of the other with your eyes on our precious Lord. Dig into his word for direction, answers, and encouragement, and never, ever give up. Well, that is our show for today, and I am so delighted you all set your busy schedules aside and joined us. And I want to thank Marilyn again for gracing us by being on the show. And, of course, to my producer, Gary Holt, for the stellar job he always does. And please remember that all of the shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to and or download at your convenience. We have a snazzy new app, too, that you can download to your mobile devices to take us on the go with you. By the way, our closing song, as I mentioned before, is one I recorded with Wes in Maryland when she was in her late 70s and Wes was in his 80s and suffering with pre-Alzheimer's, but you sure can't tell it from this recording. I think you will agree that their voices are amazing. So once again, thank you for joining us, and until next week, blessed trails.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. When I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered
I yield.